The following is a home program on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 5, text number 7, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on June 10th, 2008, in Melbourne, Australia.
So, tonight, we are reading from Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 5, text number 7. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yoga yukto vishuddhatma vijitatma jitendriya sarabhutatma bhutatma kurvannapina lipyate. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. One who works in devotion, who is a pure soul, and who controls his mind and senses, is dear to everyone, and everyone is dear to him. Though always working, such a man is never entangled. Purport. One who is on the path of liberation by Krishna consciousness is very dear to every living being, and every living being is dear to him. This is due to his Krishna consciousness. Such a person cannot think of any living being as separate from Krishna. Just as the leaves and branches of a tree are not separate from the tree, he knows very well that by pouring water on the root of the tree, the water will be distributed to all the leaves and branches. Or by supplying food to the stomach, the energy is automatically distributed throughout the body. Because one who works in Krishna consciousness is servant of all, he is very dear to everyone. And because everyone is satisfied by his work, he is pure in consciousness. Because he is pure in consciousness, his mind is completely controlled. And because his mind is controlled, his senses are also controlled. Because his mind is always fixed on Krishna, there is no chance of him being deviated from Krishna, nor is there a chance that he will engage his senses in matters other than the service of the Lord. He does not like to hear anything except topics relating to Krishna. He does not like to eat anything which is not offered to Krishna. And he does not wish to go anywhere if Krishna is not involved. Therefore, his senses are controlled. A man of controlled senses cannot be offensive to anyone. One may ask, why then was Arjuna offensive in battle to others? Wasn't he in Krishna consciousness? Arjuna was only superficially offensive because, as has already been explained in the second chapter, all the assembled persons on the battlefield would continue to live individually, as the soul cannot be slain. So, spiritually, no one was killed on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Only their dresses were changed by the order of Krishna, who was personally present. Therefore, Arjuna, while fighting on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, was not really fighting at all. He was simply carrying out the orders of Krishna in full Krishna consciousness. Such a person is never entangled in the reactions of work. Vandeham. Ri Guru Shri Jata Pada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. So, what does this mean to us? Is this simply some academic study? Like in the university? You take the information, write it down, and repeat it on the exam to get a piece of paper. It's called a graduation certificate. Or is this knowledge meant to shape us, guide us, remold us into a transcendentalist? At the present moment, we're actually suffering in this material existence because we're on the mundane plane. You're thinking male, female, Indian, Australian, etc. We're suffering. This is describing a transcendentalist, one who has actually gone beyond the bodily identification to understand his or her true nature as a spiritual being. Not only theoretically, but is also living at every second in that divine consciousness. What is that called? Krishna consciousness. We say that term very lightly, oh yeah, Krishna consciousness. But what does it really mean? This is what it really means to be Krishna conscious, as described in this verse. This is a real Krishna conscious person. One who is always working in a spirit of devotion at every second, 24 hours a day. Every thought, every word, every deed is done in a devotional way. You see? There's no impure thoughts that ever go through his mind. No impure words ever cross his lips, nor any impure actions ever performed by his body. In other words, his mind and senses are fully controlled in every time, every place, in every circumstance. And such a person is dear to everyone. Why is he dear to everyone? Because everyone is dear to him. You see. If you show love to everyone, they will appreciate that. If you manifest kindness towards everyone, if you feel love for everyone, wherever you go, you feel, oh, these people are so dear to me. Wherever you go, you see, these are the parts and parcels of Krishna. And you feel so much appreciation that these are Krishna's parts and parcels. They are manifestations of Krishna, my beloved Lord, his one, his children. So wherever you go, if that's such a person, wherever he goes, everyone is very dear to him because he sees, oh, these are the parts and parcels of my Lord Krishna. Because he feels that way towards all living beings, naturally people appreciate him. If you're cruel to someone, he's not gonna be very friendly back to you. You see? But if you're very loving and kind to someone, purely loving and kind, without trying to get anything out of that person in return, you just want to give them pure love, people will respond to them. They will appreciate it, you see. That's why wherever Prabhupada went, Prabhupada very much was appreciated by everyone. Even flying on the airplane, the pilot he came out of the cabin and sat down with Prabhupada to talk with him. And he had a co-pilot up there, I guess, or an automatic pilot going on, you know. But he left the pilot's cabin. How many times he'd been on an airplane where the pilot came out to meet somebody? You see, I've never seen it happen. The only time you see them is after you land, you know, when they get ready to go leave the plane. You never see them. But this pilot came out of the pilot's cabin. He came down and sat next to Prabhupada to talk to him. You see. And he wasn't a member of our movement. He just saw, he could understand, this is a great saintly person who has come on this airplane. So I'm going to take advantage of his presence and I'm going to get his association, you see. So this is an example. Because Prabhupada so much loved everyone, wherever he went, people loved him. Even if you didn't meet Prabhupada, just by hearing about Prabhupada, you would love him. I have seen this. In fact, this is one of the things that attracted me to join this movement. His Holiness Vishnu Jana Maharaj had come to Austin, Texas for preaching this Krishna Consciousness movement. Immediately he had attracted many people. He got a little center started very quickly and many people were coming. But before he got the center, he was doing Namahat preaching in different homes. And I remember one lady, she had a little baby girl, and the mother had never seen Prabhupada, or the mother had heard about Prabhupada. The baby had certainly never seen Prabhupada. But the baby had just heard about Prabhupada. And the way the baby had heard about Prabhupada, whenever the baby would say Prabhupada, she would go, Prabhupada! With so much love and feeling, this is, you know, the greatest person that has ever existed in the history of the world. Prabhupada! That little baby would just, the little baby girl, you know, she would just say the name Prabhupada with so much feeling and love. And this was really impressed me. Wow. This is amazing. The way she says, Prabhupada. So even the girl, the little child had never seen him. But just by hearing about him from those who hadn't associated with him, Prabhupada was the most dear person to her, you see. So this is the power of a great Vaishnava. That even if not even seeing him, just hearing about him, you feel love for him just by hearing about him, even if you never see him, because he has so much love for you and all living entities throughout the totality of existence. So this is an amazing quality of someone who's really Krishna conscious, you see. This is the real standard of Krishna consciousness. You see, you can say, well, how Krishna conscious am I? When you walk down the street in Melbourne, is every person on the street very dear to your heart? When you go to your office, is everyone dear to your heart? You see? So you can judge how Krishna conscious you are, or how lacking you are in Krishna consciousness, by how much you feel love for all living beings, even the little grasshopper, the little ant, you see? These people who claim they love God and they kill the cows and make them into hamburgers, it's completely bogus. don't believe them for a minute that they love God. It's simply false propaganda. I was just a new Gokula, and the most wonderful cow. Oh, I wanted to get a photograph of the cow, so I walked up to the cow, and the cow was started mooing and came up to the fence and stuck her head. And maybe it was a bull, I don't remember. You know, stuck her head over the fence and was trying to reach out to me. You know, she probably thought I had maybe he was going to feed her something. You know. She was so eager. It was so beautiful animal. I took some pictures. It's on Thought for the Day today. Those of you who got Thought for the Day? Who got Thought for the Day today? Saw the cow. Yeah. Such a beautiful animal. You know, how they could kill such a creature and eat it. I mean, it's just, it's horrible. But these people, you know. And they claim to love God. I mean, it's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And even if they argue, well, you know, I definitely would go to heaven because I accepted Jesus. When they got there, what would they do? You see? When they got to heaven, what would they do? Every Sunday when they go to church, after they finish the service, they go to McDonald's hamburgers, you see? So they went to heaven. They're going to say, my dear Lord, it's so nice to be here, but, you know, where's the nearest McDonald's? He says, I'm sorry you have to go back to Melbourne for that. We only have Govindas here. You see. So, this is not love of God. This is love of sin, love of flesh and blood. They say love of God. No. If you actually love God, then the cow is also very dear to you. Yeah. If you love God, then the cow is also very dear to you. So, if we can find a person who is, as described in this verse, then we should try to become dear to that person by accepting that person as being very dear to us. This is how we advance in Krishna consciousness. Accept as dear those persons who are very dear to Krishna. And then the more that you become dear to them, the more you feel how their mercy is showering upon you. This is the secret of advancing in spiritual life. Become dear to those who are dear to Krishna by accepting them as dear. So, I can ask now if there's some question. Maybe they should be, give me a basket or something. In New Gokula, they give me a whole basket of questions. What are the situations or circumstances a devotee should be cautious or careful while trying to make steady progress in Krishna consciousness? Well, whenever you're in the association of non-devotees, that's when you really got to be careful. And that's why the first principle is sangat sanjayate. No, I mean to say it's asat sanga tyaga. Because of the principle sangat sanjayate kama, one's consciousness is developed according to one's company. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya taught, asat sangya tyag. One should give up the association of non-devotees. In the present world situation, we have to oftentimes work with non-devotees just to make a living. So that's a very dangerous position because their jokes are all based on lust, you see? Their whole motivation for working is greed. They're prone to anger. They're prone to fault finding. And to try to become dear to people like that on their level is very dangerous. The best thing is in that circumstance, you become an exemplary person. That you become dear to them in a different way. By becoming, by your saintly qualities. So that's a situation you really got to be careful when you're with non-devotees. How to break bad habits? It's simple. Replace them with good habits. If you perform good habits, then your bad habits are automatically broken. If you don't replace them with good habits and just try to stop them, you will not be successful. I guarantee you, you will not be successful in breaking bad habits if all you try to do is stop them. You have to replace them with something better. Because we have to do something with our 24 hours. How to remember Krishna during difficulties. That's very nice. You just think of Queen Kuti's prayer. Vipadarsham tutatashvat tatra tatra jagadgaro bhavanam darshanam yatshad apunarbhavam darshanam. She's praying for difficulties. My dear Lord, may those difficulties come again and again. Everyone move forward. People in the back don't have any room to sit. Everyone come forward. Squeeze forward, everyone. It's only latecomers. Here, what, you see this empty space here? You move into that empty space. And you move into this empty space. You sit right here. Come against the podium again. You come right to here. And you come up, fill all the empty space. No gaps, you see. Yeah. So, you have to remember Kunti's prayer. She finds that difficulty is the best situation. She's praying, my dear Lord, please let me be in difficulty. Because when I'm in difficulty, that's when I can remember you the best. And when I remember you, I will not see the repetition of birth and death. So the best way to remember Krishna during difficulty is to be thankful when the difficulties come. Instead of thinking, Krishna, why are you doing this to me? You see, that's remembrance of Krishna, but that's unfavorable remembrance, like Kamsa. You see, there's anukul and pratikul. There's favorable and unfavorable Krishna consciousness. If you're angry at Krishna, Krishna, why did you put me in this difficulty? Don't you know I'm doing so many devotional activities? Why did you bring this calamity to me? You're angry at him. That's very unfavorable. You see. But instead you should be thankful. Krishna, you're so kind. You're putting me into this difficulty to help me surrender to you. Thank you, my Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So when difficulties come, you should thank Krishna for the difficulty because it makes it easier to surrender to the Lord. How to develop a service attitude. Just do the service. By doing the service, the natural service attitude you already have within your heart, it will come out. It's not an artificial attitude, a service attitude. Service attitude is the natural nature of the self. But we've been taught to be in a non-service attitude by the material society. But if you just practice a service attitude, then your natural service propensity will come forward. Okay? All right. Does anyone who has got a human form of life get a chance to become a devotee? Or is it determined by karma? Everyone has a chance. All they have to do is come in contact with a pure devotee. Brahmanda Brahmate Brahmite Konna Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. That living entity who is most fortunate, who comes in contact by the mercy of Krishna with a bona fide spiritual master, after wandering through the Brahmanda through thousands and millions of life forms, gets the seed of bhakti. So it's by good fortune. If one comes in contact with a pure devotee, he gets the seed of bhakti. That doesn't necessarily depend on previous life. It's his good fortune. Somehow or other, he got the association of a devotee. How to get rid from material thoughts, material attachments, body, looks, hair, etc. Well, you can shave your head. That's one thing. You may have to worry what your hair looks like. You know. Of course, it's not this is a modesty, but you know. (Clears throat) the easiest way to get rid of material, you just have to think spiritual thoughts. Instead of thinking how you can get ahead in the material world, think of how you can push the Krishna consciousness movement ahead in the material world. That's what I do. Instead of thinking of how I can advance materially, I just think about how I can take over the world for Prabhupada, you see. How I can ignite a spiritual revolution, that's what I think about. How I can make this, how I can get all the high court judges to wear tilak, you see. How I can make the whole world Krishna conscious. I just meditate like that. We all have a desire to advance, so why not think about advancing the Krishna consciousness movement? And then your own advancement, you don't have to worry about it anymore. Because you're thinking about a much more important advancement, the advancement of this movement. So if you take the mood of a spiritual revolutionary wanting to do everything possible to push forward this movement, and you have so many spiritual thoughts, there's no room or time for material thoughts anymore. It's too big of a project. You say, well, it's like Haridas Thakur, you know. He was so busy chanting his japa that he told the prostitute, well, it's all right, you know, we can have sex, but just let me finish my rounds first. I'll satisfy you, no problem. First my japa. So, of course, he never had sex with her. She became a pure devotee just by hearing his japa. Is it? So, he didn't have to think, how can I get free of the thought of having sex with this beautiful young woman? He just was so absorbed in Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna,
Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Tasting so much nectar, just like Jamunacharya Albandri of South India. Yadavadi mama cheta Krishna padaravinde Nava-nava-rasa-dhamanun-yat-tarantum-asit Tadavati-vatta-nari-sangame-smaryamane Bhavati-mukha-shushtu-nishtivanam-cha. Whenever I think about having sex with a woman, because right at the present time I'm getting so much nectar from serving Radha and Krishna, nava-nava-rasa, newer and newer taste. I'm getting the sweeter and sweeter nectar every minute engaged in Krishna bhakti. If I ever think about having sex with a woman, my lips just curl with this taste. Oof, and I spit at the thought. You see? That's Krishna consciousness. It's called higher taste. We don't spit at the women. They're our mothers. But the idea of enjoying illicit sex life, you see, that we spit at. That way, spitting. So you just have to become Krishna conscious, and then automatically these material thoughts will go away. Because, you know, if I offer you a bowl of strawberry ice cream, would you prefer to eat stool or you take the strawberry ice cream? You see, it's like someone say, "How can I give up my desire for eating stool?" You just eat strawberry ice cream immediately. You won't want stool anymore. Okay. If everybody becomes devotees or becomes Krishna conscious, what will happen to the material world? Maybe we can turn it into a museum. You can be tourists from Goloka Vrindavan, you know. No, actually, the material world will, there will always be people misusing their independence and coming here. So don't worry about that, you know. But if you want, you can stay back, you know. And we all go back to God, and you can stay back and take care of the place. You know? Be the caretaker down here. Okay. How do I make sure I sustain my Krishna consciousness later in life, as time and circumstances keep? Well, first thing is you got to get initiated. If you want to, if you want long-term Krishna consciousness, you have to come take initiation. What are the first five items given by Rupa Goswami for becoming solidly situated in Krishna consciousness? They're right there in the nectar devotion. Number one, take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Number two, get initiated by him, and then what? Get instructed by him. Open the door, let her in, leave the door space of new. Everyone squeeze tighter now. Come forward. So, the second item is you take diksha and you receive instructions. Now, the third item is common sense. If you're instructed by the spiritual master, then what do? You obey the instructions, right? Otherwise, what's the meaning of being initiated? That's the third item. Obey the instructions of the spiritual master. The fourth item is you take training from the spiritual master how to serve the previous acharyas, like Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta, Bhaktivinoda, Narottam, you see, Goswami. The spiritual master will teach you how to serve. He doesn't want you to serve him. He's just a humble representative of all the acharyas. So he teaches you how to serve all the acharyas, you see. That's the fourth item. The fifth item is you inquire from the spiritual master how to advance in Krishna consciousness. So if you will do these five items, then I guarantee you your Krishna consciousness will be sustained through all circumstances throughout your entire life. How to help your parents to be Krishna conscious? You be Krishna conscious. You become an ideal example of Krishna consciousness, and they will automatically be attracted to Krishna consciousness by seeing you. Okay, next. Though I'm aware that I'm not my body but a soul, still I'm affected by lust, beauty. How shall I come out of this problem, and how long will it take? When you see that beautiful woman, you have to understand philosophically what it is. It's Maya's expert packaging job, that's all. It's really nothing more than mucus, stool, urine, blood, bones, and hair. If I put all that in a plastic bag and put it on your front door, you'd be disgusted. Who did this? They put a bag of stool, urine, and vomit, blood, and bones, and hair in my front door. You see. But if it's a package and a package called a woman, we go, oh, wow. You see. Just see how Maya is tricking us. No offense. For the ladies, you can just reverse it the other way around. See? I'm giving. The point is the same. For a woman, the man's body is also just, you know, it may be very attractive, but it's just a disgusting, you know, bag of gross, nasty things. It works both ways. Don't misunderstand. So, if you understand this philosophically, and Shankaracharya taught this principle, you should see the breast of the woman philosophically for what it is. If you understand it, you see it through the eyes of the scripture instead of the eyes of lust, you see, then you will not, you can detach yourself from it and say, no, this is not worthy of my endeavor, not worthy of my becoming a slave of this attraction. How long before I come out of this problem? You can come out of it immediately, if you want. But if you think you'd like to continue enjoying this problem, which some people do, many neophyte devotees, they want to be Krishna conscious, but they think, well, I think I'd like to enjoy this illusion for a while longer. And they flip back and forth. And it takes them years. Maybe they don't even make it in their whole lifetime. They have to take birth again, you see. To want to continue enjoying the illusion of the material body. It's up to you. You can take many lifetimes. You can, within 1 second, you can say, that's it, and I'm not going to mess around with this anymore. This illusion of being captivated by Cupid's arrows, I'm just not going to do it anymore. Whenever he attacks me, I'm going to take shelter of Krishna. Every time, I'm not going to give in anymore. It's up to you. You can do it in a second, or it can take millions of lifetimes. Adi Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. How can I show love and affection to a person who is not interested in following the rules and regulations of ISKCON? Is this your spouse? Huh? What? Is this a spouse or just a friend or what?
Just a friend.
A friend, okay. Because it's different. If it's a spouse, it's a different answer. Okay. If it's just a friend, keep trying to engage them. But we really, if someone is inimical to Krishna, it depends. If they're out and out inimical, if they're polite, saying, oh, yeah, okay. You know, that's one thing. But if they're openly critical, then you really have to avoid them, unless you can defeat them. We don't want to hear blasphemy. If they're just not interested, they want you to do things with them, mundane. You know, let's go to the amusement park, let's go downtown and go to a mundane restaurant. I mean, we don't need this kind of stuff. You know. If they're not interested in following Krishna consciousness and they want to do mundane things, you know, better they find someone else to do it with, not you. I'll be honest.
Huh?
Compassion?
From the Bhagavad Gita, you explained that we have to show love to everyone.
So give them prasadam. Give them Bhagavad Gita. Give them Krishna consciousness. That's how we show compassion. Not by participating in mundane activities with them.
They're also interested, but...
Huh?
They're also interested in following it.
They are.
Yeah, but they're finding it difficult.
Oh, well, then you help them. Then that's very good. Then you help them to overcome the difficulty. That is compassion, yeah. You ask them, you be very compassionate. Find out what is it that's giving you difficulty? Find out exactly what's giving him difficulty and see how to help him over the difficulty. He is also not interested in accepting his own fault. Yeah, well, that's material consciousness. It is not only my opinion. Others also feel the same about that person. Yeah, but you have to be compassionate. Try to find out what's the difficulty and see if you can help them overcome the difficulty. What is the real position of... What is that last word? Fate?
What is the real position of soul?
Oh, the soul, okay. Oh, it's misspelled, S-O-L-E. It's S-O-U-L is how you spell soul. The real position of the soul is that that's who we really are. Right now you're hearing this lecture, these questions and answers. The soul is the one that's hearing it. The ears are just an instrument through which the hearing is transmitted, but the soul is the one who's actually experiencing everything. What is the most successful way to introduce a non-devotee to Krishna consciousness? It depends on the individual non-devotee. What do they like to do? That's very much a time and place answer. The best thing is to engage their talents in Krishna consciousness activities. If they like to do something, have them do that for Krishna. I seen to please sincere devotee of Lord that behind these back I enjoy, and their back I engage in sense gratification. Will I get any mercy? Well, it's good you're honest, being honest here. Maybe you're remaining anonymous, but yeah, making a show of being a devotee isn't enough. If your heart is still meditating on sense gratification, you're not going to advance much. Even the show of devotional service will help you advance a little bit, but the danger of falling down at any time You have to beg Krishna to help you become sincere, that you really want to give up sense gratification and only have devotional service. I have read in a book, Search for Krishna, that chanting or taking Krishna's name by a non-devotee is poisonous. No, misunderstood. To hear Krishna's name from the non-devotee is poisonous. That when a non-devotee takes Krishna's name, it's poisonous. We were non-devotees and we took Krishna's name. Was it poison for us? No, it saved us. If you hear the chanting, if you hear the basic, here's what specifically refers to. There are Mayavadis, for example, who chant Hare Krishna. Their desire is to merge, and they do all kinds of bhajans, Durga, Krishna, etc. So they take Krishna, just another one of the names that can be used to merge into Brahman. So if you hear their kirtan, it may be very attractive musically, but it's poisonous. That's what specifically it means, not to hear the name of Krishna uttered by non-devotees. Yes, you should talk about Krishna with non-devotees, but you do the talking and let them listen. That's the point. Don't hear about Krishna from those people who are talking speculation about Krishna. You do the talking, let them hear, then they'll make advancement. It's chanting. Chanting will take you back to God, that's a fact. How as important is the number of rounds? Let me ask you this. How important it is, just like today, I called one of my students in Sydney. And right in the middle of the call, his phone went dead. I couldn't finish giving him the message because his phone went dead. Now, how important it is to fully charge your telephone before you leave the house? Think about it. Do you want your phone to go dead in the middle of an urgent call? Emergency call? From the spiritual master? Is it? So, 16 rounds, you know, on your little indicator on your telephone, it says fully charged, right? Now your phone is fully charged. 16 rounds means fully charged for 24 hours. 15 rounds is not fully charged. It may go dead before your day is up, you see? So if you want to be fully charged for 24 hours a day, 16 rounds is the minimum standard for a full charge. Okay. What is the difference between chanting 8 rounds and 16? I just answered. You're halfway charged. That means 12 hours to the day, you may lose it with your 8 rounds. You may not make it. So you want to be charged up for 24 hours, 16 rounds minimum. Where does Krishna reside? Where does Krishna not reside? Next question. You understand the answer? Krishna is everywhere. He's within everything. Everything is within Krishna, and Krishna is within everything. There's nowhere that Krishna does not reside. But we are blind to that. That's the problem. So we have to become aware of that. Yo mam, you know that shloka 630? How many Bhakti Shastris do we have here? Any Bhakti Shastri graduates? Yo mam pashyati sarvatra sarvanchamai pashyati. For one who sees me in everything and everything in me, I'm never lost, nor is he ever lost to me, you see. So Krishna is everywhere. There's nowhere that you will not find Krishna. You simply have to have the eyes to see, that's all. You understand? You simply have to develop the eyes to see Krishna. That's the eyes of a jnani? No. The eyes of bhakta. By becoming devotee, you can see Krishna everywhere, even in downtown Melbourne, you see. Everywhere you can see Krishna. Why are we coming on this material world, this planet? Our nature is just to love God and give obeisance to Him. Why did God, Krishna, not keep us with Him? you think Krishna likes prisoners? Would like to have prisoners in Goloka Vrindavan? You're forced to stay there. You cannot leave. You're not allowed to leave. Everyone's enjoying being here tonight, right? But what if I told you now nobody's allowed to leave? You're forbidden to leave for... I'm going to have him, Prabhu here lock the door permanently. You're not allowed to leave this place. Whether you like it or not, now you have to stay here forever. Would you feel as happy about being here? Some of you might, but you're really transcendental, you know. Most of you honestly would think this isn't right. This is wrong. They're trying to force me to stay here against my will. I'm not allowed. I don't have the free will to come and go. You would get angry and disturbed, you see. So Krishna doesn't force us to stay in his spiritual world. He gives us the freedom to love me or leave me, you see. And then, if the choice is there, then you can actually love. If Krishna forces us to stay in his abode, then it's difficult to love if we're being pressured or forced to stay in some place against our will, you see. So that's why we have the choice. And as I've many times explained, free will means there has to be a possibility of misusing it, and possibility means there has to be some degree of probability of misusing it, and probability of misusing it means we have just come down to the realm known as probability statistics. If you, that means there's an actual number, you see. Even if it's an infinitesimal number, if you imply it, if you apply an infinitesimal number against an infinite number of living entities, you still come out with an infinite number of living entities who misuse their free will. So try to understand these things with a mathematical brain. It's a fact. You cannot have possibility, you can't have free will without the possibility of misusing it. You cannot have possibility without some degree of probability, and some degree of probability brings you to the real world of mathematics. Applied against an infinite number of living entities, it means you have an infinite number of living entities who will misuse their free will. This is simply based on logic and math. You can understand the answer to this question. See? Why then life and death? Well, that's very simple, because once you choose to try to be an enjoyer on your own, separate from the Lord, you try it in this way and you're not satisfied. So Krishna, but you still have the desire to enjoy separately from the Lord, but you think, well, I tried it in this way, it didn't work, I think I would like to try it in that way. Krishna fulfills your desire. That's why there's 8,400,000 species. Because there's 8,400,000 different ways that people want to try to enjoy being the Lord of this material nature. You understand? That's Krishna's kindness to give you the opportunity to try out all the ways you want to enjoy being separate from Him. That's why all the species are there. You try it until you're sick and tired of trying it in this form, and He lets you try it in a different form until you're sick and tired of trying it in that form. He lets you try it in another form. This is His kindness upon you. He lets you try to be the enjoyer because you're stubbornly wanting it until finally you realize this is stupid. I'm going to get back to my original position before I became such an idiot to come to this cycle of birth and death. Like father, mother, brother, sister. Why all the problems of relations? It's very simple, because these are artificial relations based on a false identity of the self with the material body. You're always going to have trouble with this father, sister, mother, brother, cousins, aunts, uncles, granddaddy. You're going to have trouble with these things. Always you'll have trouble with these things, because it's all based on the false premise of I'm this body. You can never be happy in this so-called family. They are called fallible soldiers. If you want real family, come to ISKCON. This is an eternal spiritual family. And Prabhupada is our founder acharya. Join this movement, and here you can develop relationships that are eternal, that are not based on the body. You can have a spiritual master in this movement. You can have God brothers, God sisters, God nephews, God nieces, a whole family. It's a big, big family. And it's eternal. When we go back to Godhead, Prabhupada will be there. The ISKCON devotees will be there, you see. We'll all be an ISKCON family in the spiritual world. We'll remember this program we had here tonight in Melbourne even. Prabhupada said this. There's one letter he said, and you go back to God and you remember all the devotional activities you did in this world. That means we'll remember this class we had tonight. We'll all remember it when we go back to God. Yeah, we remember that evening, you know. That was it, June 10th, 2008. We'll remember it. We'll all remember this, how we were together tonight. We're all sitting in Vrindavan Forest, you know, with Krishna. And then we'll remember, yeah, I remember back in June 10th, 2008, we had this class on Bhagavad Gita 5-7. We'll all remember it. Okay. How can we evaluate the spiritual progress? Bhakti pareshanu varavarakti ranyatra chayashatraka eka kalaha. Prapadnyaman nashyatas nadas tush tushti pushti chudapayo nagasam. Love of Krishna, direct perception of Krishna within everything, and detachment from all forms of material sense gratification occur simultaneously for one who is engaged in devotional service sincerely, just as nourishment, eradication of hunger, and satisfaction occur simultaneously and increasingly with each bite for one who is engaged in what? Eating. This is the Bhagavatam's version. So that's how you can evaluate your progress in Krishna consciousness. If you are eating, do I have to tell you you're getting filled up now? Do I have to tell you? No, you know. First, great. Second's okay. Third's maybe. Fourth, no way. You see? You know you're filled up. You don't want any more. So just as you know you're getting filled up by eating, you will know that now you how you're advancing in Krishna consciousness, because you will feel love for Krishna. When you see the deities, you will feel love in your heart. When you go on the street, you will still see Krishna everywhere. You'll see how he's manifested as the light of the sun, the light of the moon, the sound in the ether, the ability in man, the syllable om in the Vedic mantras. You'll experience Krishna everywhere, and you'll no longer be attracted to sense gratification. This is how you know you're advancing in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna Prabhu. Sometimes I'm not able to meet my senior Prabhu's expectation in service of Krishna due to lack of physical limitations. That's a grammatical error here. You have a lack of limitations, that means you don't... This is worded wrong. Incorrect English. But I understand what you mean. That's okay. A lack of particular skills. Okay. Now, a truly senior devotee, a spiritual master, you see, he doesn't see in basis of your physical limitations or lack of particular skills. He sees on the basis of your sincerity. The senior Prabhu, Prabhu, if he can't see the sincerity, he's simply seeing, well, this person, you know, isn't performing successfully enough because, you know, no, this description here. Someone who's really senior will understand the sincerity, even if there's some physical limitation. He'll see beyond them. Okay. More and more I chant the holy name and take Krishna consciousness seriously. I feel to dedicate my fourth lifetime to Krishna's service, but simultaneously I feel my senses are pulling me more and more to sense gratitude. So you just had to fight. However hard your senses are pulling you, you have to pull even harder towards Krishna, that's all. You have to declare war against Maya, that's all. You want to be a devotee? All right, material nature is going to start testing you. You have to declare war against Maya, that's all. You go on the war path. So what is our war ping? put on your war paint every morning when you get up. You can take it off before you go to the office and put water team on. Get up every morning, take your bath, put on your war paint, declare war against Maya, you see. And then chant 16 good rounds before the sun comes up. And then you become strong in bhakti. Hare Krishna, how to pray, how to progress for neophyte devotees in Krishna consciousness if they are less confident. Take shelter of someone who has complete confidence. That's why you need a guru. You take shelter of guru, as Rupa Goswami says, the first step is the Dao Gurashrayam. You take shelter of a spiritual master, you'll automatically progress. Just like I many times give the example, in Indian villages, not many people own automobiles. Many people own the bicycles, you see. But they may live at quite a distance from their place of work. So how do they get to work? It's a lot of pedaling to do every day, you see. But they just grab onto the bus. You see them. In Melbourne, they'll give you, the police will give you a ticket. You can't do that. A bicycle rider cannot grab onto a motor vehicle in Melbourne. But in India, no problem. So you just have to grab a hold. If you want to progress, if you're less confident, hold on to somebody who's more confident. And by his association, you will naturally progress. Okay? What to do to avoid being born as a demigod in the next birth? Will preaching do the... No, you have to surrender to a bona fide spiritual master. Take diksha. Fully dedicate yourself to a bona fide guru, and then you automatically go back to Godhead. Whether you have time to preach or not, if you just become completely surrendered to the bona fide spiritual master, you'll definitely go back to Godhead. Chanting quality rounds runs down again and again. What to do? Run it up. When you see your quality is going down, you have to increase it. It's like if you're in the forest and you're in the cold night and you're sitting around a campfire. What do you do when the fire starts burning down? You put more fuel in the fire. Stoke it up. So if your chanting is going down, put more energy into your chanting and bring it up. That's all. How Krishna, Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. What are the origins of Krishna? What do you mean, origins of Krishna? Don't you know, Anadira? Krishna has no origin. There are no origins of Krishna, because he is the origin of everything. He has no origin. But if he has an origin, what is that origin? Krishna himself. He's self-manifested. And what are the origins of the soul? Krishna. Krishna is the origin of everything that exists. How do I understand that I should take initiation? Is there any specific time? There are many bona fide spiritual masters in ISKCON. How do I know to select guru? Well, you must take initiation, because Prabhupada says without initiation you're not even connected with Krishna. Everybody wants to be connected with Krishna, right? Until you get initiated, you're just in the process of becoming connected. You don't get fully connected until you're initiated. Prabhupada explains that in the Nectar Devotion. But until that time, you're just in the process of becoming connected. You understand? But once you get initiated and you take the vows, now you're fully connected. Until then, you're just in the process of becoming connected, which is great. But you're not fully connected until diksha, initiation. That's what Prabhupada explains. You're not connected until initiation. So that's why one should understand why one should take initiation. Any specific time, as soon as possible. Because we can die at any minute. So you want to get connected as soon as possible. But you need to take, you shouldn't rush so fast that you get initiated by a bogus guru. Like, you have to make sure the spiritual master is bona fide, and you have to make sure that you're going to follow the vows, obviously. That's why we have a time period. You have to be chanting for at least a year, 16 rounds for 6 months for formal shelter, and then another 6 months minimum for diksha. So at least for 1 year, you have to show that you can chant 16 rounds and follow these principles. How do you choose? This is a very common question I'm asked all over the world. How do you choose the guru? There's so many gurus in ISKCON. How do you choose a guru? How many times have I been asked this question, Vishnupriya Manaji? So many times, I've lost count. I've answered many different ways according to different circumstances. One answer is, just be very sincere that now, my dear Lord Krishna, I want to fully surrender myself unto you. I'm ready. My dear Lord, now I'm fully ready to completely surrender to you. Please guide me. Who should be my spiritual master? Pray to him. Bow down before the deities. Bow down to Srila Prabhupada and pray. Now I am ready to fully surrender to you, Srila Prabhupada. I'm ready, fully surrender to you, my Lord Krishna. Now you guide me. Who should be my spiritual master? Please give me the understanding. You see, that's one way. I've sometimes seen that people use this idea, well, I haven't decided which guru yet, as an excuse not to surrender, you see. Is there a way to... In the old days, the Prabhupada was the only choice, so you couldn't use that as an excuse, you see. But now, someone can use that as an excuse. Well, I just haven't decided which one yet, see. So I'm not taking initiation yet. And they go on for 20 years, you know. They haven't decided which one yet. You see, that's called cheating. Don't be a cheater. Be sincere to actually surrender to Krishna. And then Krishna will tell you, this is the one. Krishna will send, actually, you won't have to go looking for the spiritual master. When you're actually ready, when you come to the point that, my dear Lord Krishna, I now want to fully surrender to you. You're praying that way within your heart. You know what will happen? The spiritual master will be right there in front of your very eyes when you become sincere. Krishna will send him to you. When you become sincere like that, Krishna will send the Prabhupada said them. Hayagriva and Kirtanananda, when they were karmis, they went to India looking for a guru. Keith and Howard were there. And they never found one, but they came back to America and Prabhupada showed up in their neighborhood, you see. So, Prabhupada said, you don't have to seek the guru. The guru will find you when you're ready, you see. So, not how can I choose a guru? How can I be in such a state of mind that the guru will find me? That's the real question. How can I come to the right state of mind? The guru will find me and grab me and pull me out of this material existence. That's the real answer. How can I be in that state of mind when the guru will find me and save me and pull me out of this darkness of ignorance? Okay, next question. Adi Krishna Prabhu Pamho. Pamho. I always, when I write emails, how many of you gotten emails from me? Do I ever say Pamho? Actually, what I do is I set up a signature file, and anytime I start an email, it automatically comes up, you know, dear so-and-so, you know. Of course, since I'm in the position of guru, I say, please accept my blessings. But to my godbrothers, I, you know, please accept my humble obeisances. So I always write it out. Pamho is just, you know, it's just, why do we have to abbreviate our Vaishnava culture? Prabhupada never said, you know, please accept my blessings would be P-A-M-B, P-A-M-B. Did Prabhupada ever write a letter PAMB? I mean, you know, we cheapen this culture. I mean... Just like, one time I went to Vrindavan, everybody was going, Adibo, Haribol, Prabhu, Haribol, 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 you know. Oh, that's all I heard, Haribol. I wonder, is this the Haribol movement or the Hare Krishna movement, you know? Prabhupada always said Hare Krishna to people. We have a tendency to, you know, kind of like take it easy and kind of water it down a little bit, kind of dilute it a little bit. Advanced computer culture. So anyway, it's nice that you said Pamho. I mean, but yeah, others didn't even do that much. But please accept my humble obeisance is actually spelled out as much, much more, it's much sweeter than Pamho. Pam is a girl's name, you know. Pam Ho. Ho could be her last name, you know. Some Chinese, some girl from China. Pam Ho. I haven't met her. I haven't met Pam Ho. But anyway. Okay, how do we experience the real taste of chanting? One has to plead, actually, to Krishna, Krishna's mercy. He has to beg for the mercy of Krishna. Krishna is coming in the form of his name for those who feelingly, pleadingly call out to the Lord. So you have to chant in a pleading voice, pleading to be delivered from this material nature. And then you can get the real taste of chanting. Like in a chanting in a mood of pleading, begging for the mercy. When I chant, I feel some rounds finish faster, but sometimes take a long time. When the feeling comes, some slower and some faster, that's not a problem. As long as you're chanting with feeling. I mean, there doesn't have to be a uniform speed all the time. It doesn't require you have to chant every round exactly the same number of minutes. That's not it. Prabhupada never said that. Prabhupada, sometimes you hear there's one tape he chants very slow and one tape he chants very fast. So the real thing is, what is the? We're not so much concerned with the speed as we're concerned with the feeling. That's what really counts. Okay. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, of the people who are deaf and dumb, how can they do Krishna devotion? Well, how do they function at all in the material world? The deaf and dumb also have a ways of getting around. They can read Braille. We could, you know, if someone is... We need... Eventually we're going to have a Braille edition of these Prabhupada's books. I don't know if there's any deaf and dumb people who are trying to read Prabhupada's books. But deaf means they only can't hear, but they can read, yeah. But if someone is deaf and blind, you see, then they would require a Braille edition. The books could be printed in Braille. But if they're deaf, they can still read. And if they're blind and they can hear, then they can play tapes. So, and if they're dumb, they have no vocal cords, they can't say anything, then they have to meditate on the holy name, that's all. They just have to chant in their mind. Normally we tell everyone you have to vibrate it, but if they have no vocal cords, they're not able to make any sounds, then they would be forced to meditate on the name. Krishna would understand their situation. Hare Krishna, how to involve in temple service with great enthusiasm. That's the answer. I feel myself lacking in opportunities, or it's my fault. Well, you have to approach the department head or the temple head and explain you have a desire to do service. Can they kindly help facilitate you? One of my students wanted to do temple service, but she's a single mom and with a young daughter, and it wasn't easy, but she got her mother to agree to be the babysitter so she could come and do the service. But then the mother was so worn out by being the babysitter that she said, I'm not going to do this anymore. Once was enough. So the daughter was perplexed what to do. My mother doesn't want to babysit anymore, and I had to take care of the young child. How do I do service? Yeah. I said, just take your mother some nice prasadam. And it worked. So now the mother agreed to keep taking care of the child on a regular basis. So my student can come and do temple service, cleaning the RT trays and things like that. So just, you have to be determined to find some way to do the service and overcome the obstacles. Okay, next question. That's it, all right. Okay. So I thank you all very much for your nice questions. And anybody have any verbal questions? You know, out loud. Yes?
I do have a verbal question, but it's not something I really would like to announce to people who are in the table.
What's he saying?
I'll ask you personally.
Oh, you'll ask me personally.
I'd
okay.
prefer to ask you personally.
I'll ask you personally.
Ask you personally.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. Some other time. Yeah. That it?
Yeah.
No more questions? Okay, well, we thank you all very much. Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.